Romans 12:9 says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good." I am Rob West. It may not be intuitive, but this verse is a compelling guide for applying our faith to our investment decisions. We'll talk with Jason Meyer today about how we can love without hypocrisy as we invest our money. Then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, joining us again today is Jason Meyer, Executive Director of the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing, an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management, and an underwriter of this program. Jason, welcome back. It's always great to have you.
Hey, Rob. So good to be with you.
Jason, I'd like to talk today about how we can bring our faith into our investment decision-making in a deeper way. And I know you have a verse that you think can help us in that objective. So why don't you share that with us?
Sure. It's a simple verse from the book of Romans 12:9, and it reads, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good." Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Now, before we can apply it to investing, I think it's important to just expound for a moment on some of what's here, because I think there's a lot of richness here.
Yeah.
And the first thing I think is really fascinating about this verse is the opening line, "Let love be without hypocrisy." The word hypocrisy is actually a fascinating choice of words for the Apostle Paul. And that's because in his day, hypocrisy was a theater term that referred to acting. In fact, the Greek word for actor was hypocrite. And in Greek theater, the actors or the hypocrites would often wear masks over their faces as a part of their costumes in order to portray emotion, including to people who may be sitting far away from the stage. And so these masks would have really exaggerated smiles or frowns or angry faces. Maybe you've seen these pictures before of what Greek theater looked like. And so the idea that Paul is describing here is that hypocrisy means those that are only play acting or pretending. And there's really a different person behind the so-called mask, which is where we get that expression today. So when Paul says, "Let love be without hypocrisy," he's saying, let's not pretend here. Let's not act like we love. Let's really love. And I think, of course, we should all recognize that love is paramount to the Christian life, right? Jesus taught us that love is actually the greatest requirement that God has for us. We are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And our love must be real. It must be genuine. It must be authentic.
Yeah, that's so helpful, Jason, and fascinating about the idea of hypocrisy coming from Paul specifically and how love needs to be genuine. Draw this out even further because I know there's a lot more there.
Yeah. The other thing I think that's really helpful about what Paul is saying here is that he points out what real love actually looks like. And I find this helpful because I don't know about you, but I sometimes struggle with the thought that I may not be an authentic Christian. My love may not be genuine. Am I a fraud? Am I a pretender? We all struggle with doubt at various times about the authenticity of our faith. And Paul tells us here how we can know that our love is real. There's actually a litmus test for our love, and he tells us that it consists in two things: abhorring what is evil and clinging to what is good. Abhorring what's evil and clinging to what's good. Now, notice here the strong emotional language that he's using. So, abhorring what is evil. To abhor means a passionate kind of hatred, actually. And this might be a surprise to think that Christian love could contain hate. But if you think about it, we are to rightly be angry and hateful towards anything in God's world that would disfigure it or distort it or misdirect it or malign or twist or destroy or pervert anything that's good in God's world, right? God has anger towards sin and its destructive effects on our world. And so we, like God, are to rightly be angry as well.
Well, that's so helpful, Jason. Well, when we come back after the break, we're going to talk about the last part of that passage there in Romans 12, 9, clinging to what is good. What does that mean? And then how do we apply all of that to investing as we think about aligning our values and our faith as believers to the deployment of capital, the investment decisions we're making? We're talking today with Jason Meyer, Executive Director of the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing, an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management. Much more to come just around the corner. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Do you still read a printed newspaper? I sure miss doing that. These days, I tend to just scroll on my phone and find out what's happening. And most of the time, that's pretty discouraging. During the darkest moments of the pandemic, cultural commentators coined a term for this. Doom scrolling, they called it. A steady stream of bad news that you can't stop scrolling through. But for a follower of Jesus, there is hope that you'll never encounter in a newsfeed. A hope that cuts through the darkness and doom. The Apostle Paul wrote to an early believer named Titus, encouraging him that we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
You will not live in some vapory netherland, in a disembodied haze, or in a blissful but intangible state of mind. The Bible refers to heaven as a specific place. It is not a state of mind.
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series, The Great Disappearance, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian credit counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian credit counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're talking today about real Christian love in investing. Our guest today is Jason Meyer, Executive Director of the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. And Jason's unpacking a passage in Romans. You'll know it well. It comes from chapter 12, verse 9. Let me read it. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. And before the break, Jason was sharing with us that Christian love expresses itself with hatred toward what is evil. And Jason, this is quite different than the modern conception of love in our secular world today, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So many today would simply understand love as, in modern terms, as acceptance, as tolerance, as affirmation. Today, there's no real category of evil, since many people hold to a belief that all morals are relative. Mm. What's evil to you may not be evil to me is how the thinking goes. But this is a lie, right? So Christian There is a real moral order to which we all must give an account, and real Christian love recognizes this moral order and responds appropriately, at times, with hate towards all those things that disfigure the goodness of God's world.
Well, that's exactly right. Now, take us into the rest of that passage, Jason, because then right at the end, we pivot to this idea of clinging to what is good.
Right. As well as hatred, of course, that's not the only impulse of Christian love. Clinging to what is good is where we are to be as well. And I don't know if you noticed it, but that's actually strong emotional language as well. Mm. Cling to is the biblical expression for marriage. So in Genesis chapter 2, we read, "For this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and cling to or marry his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." To cling to what is good means to marry what is good, to be united with what is good, to hold fast to what is good. Underneath all the fallenness we see in the world is actually goodness. In Genesis chapter 1, God declared this world to be good seven times over. And because of God's common grace, this goodness still shines out even in our fallen world today. And we must be those that not only express hatred for evil, but are also clinging to everything that is good in the world.
That's so helpful. There's so much richness there. Well, now, Jason, let's turn the corner. And I'd love for you to help us connect this to investing. How can this passage guide us in applying our faith to our investing decisions?
Right, right. Investing. I thought we were just doing a Bible study here, Rob.
Yeah, exactly.
No, because of the centrality of love in the Christian life, this verse can really be a guide for any aspect of our life, including our investing. And I have just kind of three simple points I want to leave us with.
Okay.
Number one, we need to add moral discernment to our investing decisions. So the world today tells us that there are really only two things we need to pay attention to in investing: risk and return.
Yeah.
And these are very important for the Christian as well to consider. But more important than these is actually discerning good and evil in our investing decisions. The world of investing does not have to be a mystery. Behind all the numbers and charts of investing is a world of business. When we invest, we're investing in businesses and profiting from businesses, real businesses, making real things with real practices, having a real impact in our very real world. And we cannot be naive. The world of business is not morally neutral. There are moral goods and moral evils in the world of legally operating publicly traded companies. And Christians especially need to be those that seek to recognize this. And we need to add, I believe, today, more moral discernment to our investing decisions.
Yeah, that's helpful. And to borrow a phrase from scripture, we need to know the condition of our flocks and herds. So that was point number one. Take us to what's next.
Sure. Number two, seek to avoid investing in companies with bad products or practices. Okay, so after bringing moral discernment, it should really result in avoiding those things that are bad. And one of the things that you'll immediately discover as you try to do this and bring moral judgment to investing is that it's not always straightforward. Not every company can be easily categorized as either good or evil. But the good news is that there are some things that are easier to discern. And there's a growing consensus among the Christian investment community today around five big areas of moral avoidance. These are companies that are involved in various ways with abortion, tobacco, pornography, gambling, and alcohol. These are areas that have been consistently identified as a starting place for applying this avoidance of evil in our investing decisions. And the faith-based investing industry can assist you in seeking to avoid entanglements in these and more areas.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the exciting thing has been to watch this industry of faith-based investing really growing and flourishing with new products and new opportunities, even just in the last few years. All right, let's turn our attention then to that third way to apply our faith in our investing decisions.
Right. So number one was bringing moral discernment to bear. Number two was avoiding companies with bad products and bad practices. And number three is embracing companies with good products and good practices. As Christians, maybe it isn't surprising that there's this presence of evil in our fallen world. But what might actually surprise us is, why is there good in the world, given the reality of the fall? But good exists because of God's common grace, which restrains sin in the world to a degree, to give all a chance to taste something of the goodness of God's creation in our lives. And what this means is that even through the lives of unbelievers in so-called secular business, we can still find a lot of genuine goodness existing in the world of business. In fact, we call the products that business creates, we call them goods and services.
Yeah.
And the reason we do this is because the products of business are intended to be good and to serve the world. And we do find that many businesses today still do this very well. There are many businesses that have goods and services. And so faith-based investments can also assist us in investing in companies that have this genuine goodness about them as well, this second dimension of love.
Jason, this is so good. Well, we are just about out of time, so I'd love for you to tell our listeners how they can take the next step in bringing their faith to investing.
Sure. So I've created a resource for you today that's simply a list of the faith-based investment products that are out there. These are products that aim to implement some of the takeaways that we talked about from Romans 12:9. And to get that resource, you can go to faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. That's faithandinvesting.com/faithfi.
Yeah, I know so many of you are looking for those actual investment solutions that deploy a faith-based investing approach, and this list will help you do that. Jason, of course, you and I have been working together, and we were excited to announce recently that we've taken that list of certified Kingdom advisors, and now those folks who want to find an advisor who can implement this type of investing that you're describing, they can actually filter the list of CKAs by those who specifically offer faith-based investing. And I know this is a big addition to this space, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm so excited about this. The ability to actually hone in and find someone who can help specifically with the faith-based investing aspect.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You can find that at faithfi.com/find. That's faithfi.com/find. Jason, always great to have you, my friend. Thanks for stopping by.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's Jason Meyer, Executive Director of the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing, an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management, and an underwriter of this program. Again, that website, faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. Your questions are next, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Transgenderism, critical race theory, and evolution. Is your child or grandchild ready to face these and other issues on campus? Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson with Probe Ministries and Point of View. You know, many Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why we have the Mind Games Camp this year, June 16 to 22nd, a week of presentations, role play, as well as fun at camp. Sign up today at probe.org and help them meet these challenges to their faith.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
The most rewarding thing about my job is that we get to build relationships through our donors and our supporters and get to have that personal relationship with them.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Well, I'm so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. It was great to have my friend Jason Meyer stop by today. Again, if you want to download that list of faith-based investments, we get so many calls, so many of you reaching out saying, how do I find that list of mutual funds? Who are the fund families that are operating in this faith-based investing space? I'd love to know what they are. I'd like to check them out. Maybe I'd like to hand this list to my advisor and say, are you using any of these faith-based investing fund families that can avoid companies that are misaligned with my Christian values? This is a great tool. It's all in one place. Just go to faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. It's free. It's a free resource, and it has that list of faith-based funds. Again, faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. That's faith, F-I. All right, we're going to begin taking your calls and questions here in just a moment. What are you thinking about today in your financial life? Let's talk about it. Living, giving, owing, or growing God's money? Anything's in play today? We've got lines open. The calls are beginning to come in, but we've got room for you at the moment. 800-525-7000. That's the number that you can call to get your question in the mix today. Again, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Before we head to the phones, in the news today, a college degree isn't as important for getting a well-paying job as it used to be. At least that's the opinion of a growing number of Americans, according to a survey by the Pew Research Center. Only about 25% of U.S. adults say that having a four-year college degree is either extremely or very important. Almost half said that having a four-year degree is less important today than it was 20 years ago. That seems to correlate with other data that shows young adults ages 25 to 34 without a bachelor's degree have achieved somewhat greater earnings in the past 10 years. Also in this survey, only 22% of respondents said that getting a degree is worth it, even if you have to borrow to do it. Nearly half said getting a four-year degree is only worth it if you can do it without borrowing. What is the takeaway here? Well, I think just interesting to watch this trend, number one. Number two, make sure that you are borrowing as little as possible. That requires some effort and some work on your part. My kids did it. They applied for tons of scholarships and got many of them. My wife did it in a major way as a growing up in a single parent family. They turned their living room into a scholarship application factory in the evenings. And she put herself through college over $150,000 in scholarships. So you can do it, but I think you've got to put some work in. Number one, you've got to make sure you're taking advantage of those dual enrollment and AP classes in high school. I think thirdly, we also need to recognize there's not a one size fits all solution for every child. Understand how God has wired you. Figure out the best path for you and make sure that if you are going to go to college, and especially if you're going to borrow, which again, I would try to avoid that, that you've thought through the degree you're seeking and whether that will produce a job on the other end of it, especially one that will allow you to pay back that debt. So a lot to think about there, but interesting trends that we're seeing coming out of this new generation with respect to the value they're placing on a college degree. All right, let's dive into your questions today. We'd love to hear from you. Again, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's begin in Illinois. Hi, Leland. Go ahead.
Good morning. I was wondering, so with all that Jason Meyer had to say, should we discern that government I-bonds should not be purchased or, you know, same thing as invested in?
Yeah, it's a good question. Do you want to be, you know, you're essentially the government is loaning you money or you're loaning them money essentially when you put money into an I bond or any kind of government bond. They're paying you a stated rate of return on it. So is that a position you want to be in? I think that's a conviction matter at the end of the day. You know, what we're talking about here is this idea that we want to potentially seek to avoid investing in companies with perhaps bad products or practices. We want to make sure that we have moral discernment in our investing decisions. And so that would include any investment decision, whether you're taking an equity position by buying a stock or you're lending, you know, in the form of a bond obligation, and, you know, who you want to be doing business with, so to speak. And if your conviction was that you didn't want to be in that position as a bondholder of the United States government, I think you're certainly entitled to that. And I think, again, that's one of those Romans 14 issues in my mind where you'd have to exercise discernment to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Because it's not, I don't think, explicit in Scripture. I think it's up to each believer to determine how he or she wants to invest. And that includes not only their primary activities, and Jason was talking about those companies today specifically who would be involved in some of those areas where there's a lot of agreement about avoidance, whether it's alcohol, tobacco, pornography, abortion, those types of things. But it also could carry to a secondary level either how the company's using their corporate profits, or in this case, you're talking about the U.S. government, and although they do a lot of wonderful things, you might have some questions or concerns about other aspects of what the U.S. government is doing with its money, which is the taxpayers' money. So what are your thoughts? What were your takeaways from today, Leland, with regard to this issue?
Well, looking at the government as a company, so to speak, a big company, they're investing in abortion, they're investing in alcohol, tobacco, and gambling, and probably pornography. We just can't prove it. And so it feels to me like you would be investing in a company, a government that is invested in all of those things. What would your definition of concernment be when it comes to right and wrong? God's word is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. How can we, or, you know, what, how would you define concernment as far as, well, I'm going to invest in the government, but I'm not going to invest in Starbucks, so to speak. You know what I'm saying?
I do, and I think this is a conviction matter or a conscience matter. Romans 14 says, let each one be fully convinced in his mind. And I think when we're talking about investments on the secondary market or being a bondholder, which is essentially where you're lending money to a government, in exchange for interest and the return of the original loan amount at a specific date, we have to exercise conviction. So I think this becomes a matter of prayer to say, Lord, how would you have me to be in this world and not of it, including with my investments? Hang on the line. We'll talk a bit more off the air. We'll be right back. Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
Started playing basketball at 9 years old. I ended up having teammates that were my teammates all the way up through high school. Then the Lord began to challenge me. Abe, you're a Christian, but have you ever shared the gospel with your teammates? I began to realize, no, I hadn't. What I'm saying is that God moved me to be concerned beyond me. It is impossible for you to be truly born again, yet you remain unconcerned about the people around you.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have 3 money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net and sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You know, the exciting thing about our previous conversation with Leland and our opening topic today with Jason Meyer is we have options today. You know, there are a growing number of Christians who want their investments to reflect their deeply held beliefs and values. They want to invest in companies whose products and services support human flourishing and do not violate their convictions. And I think it is a conviction matter. You know, it'd be great if we saw chapter and verse how we should approach all of these things, how we should live in the world and not be of it with regard to what products and services we buy and what companies we invest in. And if we're a bondholder, who we're lending to in exchange for a stated rate of return. But we won't find that explicitly. And so I think it's a matter of God-fearing people, men and women who've committed their lives to Jesus, who want to operate through the lens of Scripture, wholly devoted to Him as our eternal treasure, but really asking for discernment around these conscience matters. And the good news is that if it matters to you, you can think about what that looks like. You know, people often think about investing in terms of the bottom line. What is the rate of return? And to be sure, this is an important factor for investors, but across the table, companies and programs are also affected by the act of investing. By making the choice to invest, an investor expresses their hope that a company or a group of companies will grow and succeed in the future. And over time, those businesses have an impact on the world through the ways they interact with their employees and customers and others. And what kinds of companies do you want to grow and succeed? And I think what we're seeing is that many faith-based investors are drawing from one or more strategies to align their investments with their values. That can include avoid, which was what we were talking about with Jason Meyer today, choosing to avoid companies, investing in companies that violate your values by screening out a particular company or industry or corporate behavior. Embracing, seeking to identify and own companies that express your values through the types of products and services they offer. And then thirdly, and this is where American Family Association has been really outspoken as of late, it's the whole area of engagement, engaging with companies to advocate for change based on your values through proxy voting and shareholder proposals or speaking with company management. So I think the question we all have to ask is, do our current investments reflect our faith and deeply held values? And if not, what steps are you going to take to seek wise guidance in implementing your investing values. Two next steps for you in this area. Number one, other than asking the Lord to give you some wisdom, number one would be finding a certified Kingdom advisor who can offer faith-based investments. You can do that at faithfi.com. Click Find a Professional, and you'll be able to select a CKA specifically that offers faith-based investments if that's what you're looking for. And then secondly, this tool today of mutual fund companies specifically in this area of faith-based investing, available at faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. I hope that's helpful to you. All right, let's head back to the phones. We've got lines open today. Your questions on any financial topic, 800-525-7000. Let's go to Kentucky. Hi, Tracy. Go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for your show, Rob. And my question is, my husband and I tithe. We have always, because we believe everything we have is God's. But we just really struggle with where we're at in church with some of their financial decisions. And we feel like we're the only two. We sit in business meetings and we think, are we the only two that disagree with this?
Yeah.
And so writing out that tithe check, it's just really difficult when we really don't agree with what they're investing money in. I mean, pray, are we wrong? Is the church wrong? God, everything we have is yours. We don't want to withhold. We don't use it as an excuse not to give, but we just feel like the money could be spent in much better ways.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a great question, Tracy. And I think the big idea here, number one, is that we absolutely need to be involved in, and you guys are, so I'm not saying you're not, but we need to be involved in and active in the local church. You know, that's God's plan A. You know, we need to be there serving and growing in a community of believers in a Bible-believing church. That's number one. I think this matter of the tithe is kind of a secondary issue in the sense that we need to decide first, where has God planted you? And if you then have concerns about any part of what's going on at the church, I think you take those concerns to the elders or the governing body of your church, because you want to be able to talk it through and pray for wisdom and discernment in that conversation. And is it possible that this is just a disagreement that reasonable people may have, or is there something else there? You know, I think you could also raise the issue of your church as a membership meeting. I wouldn't in any way gossip about the issue or cast dispersion, but I think in a way that's respectful and in the channels that already exist, I would raise the issue and ask for further clarification. Perhaps you want to consider serving on your church finance committee if there is one. I've done that in the past, and that's a way not for you to just kind of impose your desires necessarily, but for somebody who's willing to say, listen, I want to get in the boat with you and help provide, you know, some of that wisdom and leadership and, you know, seeking the Lord through prayer for discernment around how the church should conduct its finances. But ultimately, I think if you feel your leadership refuses to practice faithful stewardship with the church finances, then ultimately you'd have a bigger question, not necessarily about your tithe, but really, is that the right church for you? And because you have to be a faithful steward of the resources God has given you. Have you ever raised these concerns with anybody on the church leadership?
No, we haven't.
Okay. And it could be that if you were to do that, you know, you could get some clarification that might, you know, help you understand why decisions are being made the way they are. It's often difficult kind of sitting in the pews to understand the full perspective of why things are being done. I'm not saying everything necessarily is being done exactly the way it should. They may or may not be. But apart from you asking some questions, again, in the right heart posture with the right approach to say, listen, I love this church and, you know, we're here and we're committed and we're faithful givers. But just from where I sit, there are some questions I have that I'd love to be able to dig a little deeper on and see if somebody can help walk you through that. I would imagine they would welcome that conversation. I know I always did when I was the chairman of the finance committee at churches I've been a part of in the past, because otherwise you don't have an opportunity to explain the rationale and the decision-making that's going on. So I would encourage you perhaps as a next step to maybe take a few days for you and your husband just to kind of pray through it. Lord, give us wisdom as to how we should approach this. And if you legitimately have some questions or concerns, take that, to the elders, or, you know, perhaps you, ask your pastor what's the best channel to explore this and see where that goes. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yes. Thank you.
Okay. Absolutely. But listen, I appreciate you raising this question because, you know, we should be givers, and I believe that should start with our local church. I think that's very clear in Scripture. And yet there are going to be from time to time questions or concerns. Now, at the end of the day, if this is where God has planted you and you feel like, you know, this is your church home, I think there's some element of just saying, hey, we're going to trust the authorities that God has put in place, but that doesn't mean we can't ask some questions along the way. God bless you. We'll be right back.
So your hands are covered in gunk, and you realize it's time for your favorite AFR show. If you have an Alexa device, just ask Alexa to play the appropriate live stream. You can also listen to a particular podcast from a specific day or find out when a show airs, all without using your hands. To find out all about how Alexa can help you enjoy AFR, head on over to afr.net/Alexa-skill. Then, your AFR wish is Alexa's command.
It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
Are you looking for a financial professional who aligns with your biblical values? Certified Kingdom Advisors are trusted financial, legal, or accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. The number to call, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you with whatever is on your mind here on a Tuesday, a little different week this week. It's going to feel like we're a day behind where we actually are all week long. Nevertheless, here we are. It's summertime, and I'm sure there's some things in your financial life as you seek to be found faithful as a wise steward you'd love to talk about. Well, we'd love to talk about it with you. 800-525-7000. You know, one of the other ways we receive questions from you other than you calling the broadcast each day is by email. Let's tackle a couple of those emails now. This one comes to us from Tamara. She writes, "Hi, Rob. My husband and I plan to retire in 5 years, and I will soon be receiving an inheritance of $200,000. How can we save or invest this money given our retirement time frame?" What I would say for to you, Tamara, for you and your husband, is number one, I would think about whether, number one, you want to manage this yourself or you want to hire an advisor to manage it for you. Oftentimes, for somebody who's especially in the prime of their working years, I mean, you've still got 5 years left before retirement. The last thing you want to be doing is making a decision on how to invest a couple of $100,000. So what I would do as a next step would be reach out to a few certified Kingdom advisors in your area. You can do that on our website at faithfi.com. Just click Find a Professional. And I'd interview two or three CKAs in your town. Find the one that you feel is the best fit. And then what would happen is you would actually move that money into an account that they're managing and making the buy and sell decisions on your behalf. You would also be able to look as a part of that conversation at how you might get some of this into a tax-deferred environment, whether that's, you know, perhaps maxing out your company-sponsored retirement contributions and supplementing some of your income from this account, so thereby kind of transferring it into your tax-deferred environment. You could be contributing to IRAs. You and your husband could each put in $8,000 this year if you're over age 50. But I think the big idea is to have somebody managing it for you that you know, can take responsibility for it with great communication to you and make those decisions at the end of the day. By the way, folks, if you have a question you'd like to send along at any point, just email them along, askrob@faithfi.com. All right, it's a Tuesday. Normally we have Bob Dahl on Monday, but kind of the beginning of our investing week. Bob is Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. And Bob, as we get started here today, just kind of give us an overview of what you're watching this week.
We're obviously watching all the inflation news that comes out, Rob. We got another number this week, and you know, the bulls are saying inflation's coming down. The bears are saying not so fast. We had Fed governor over the weekend saying he needs to see many more months, the words, exact words, many more months of declining inflation before he is prepared to lower rates. So inflation is the big watchword today.
Yeah, no question about it. You know, Bob, as we think about the year that we're in with, you know, it's just, I mean, we've got all kinds of geopolitical issues, but we're also clearly in an election year. Just drawing from history, what would that say about how Q3 and Q4 would play out leading up to an election, a presidential election?
Well, for starters, election years, as you know, Rob, are almost always up years. And of course, that's what we're witnessing so far. When there's a dip in the election year, it usually occurs late first, early second quarter. That's exactly what we got. And then the market post-Labor Day typically goes flat for a while. And then after the election, regardless of the outcome, tends to go higher. We'll see.
Okay. Yeah, no question about that. Now, Bob, we've talked a lot about the consumer. Just, I know you're watching inflation data, but what are some of those key metrics in the weeks ahead with regard to just the overall health of the American consumer at this point?
Yeah, as you know, Rob, the consumer's at least two-thirds of the U.S. economy. So as the consumer goes, so goes the economy. Lending standards on the part of banks remain on the tighter side, which makes it more difficult for low and mid income consumers and businesses to borrow money. And that's part of why we think the economy is and will continue to slow. And the consumer, as a result, gets just a little more cautious, doesn't spend quite as much. And that's usually an environment where companies say, well, I'm not selling my profits as much as I did before. Maybe I need to cut some costs, and employees tend to be on that list. And then you get into that sloppy part of the cycle. And we expect that as the rest of this year unfolds.
Yeah. Obviously, the bond market has kind of been all over the place this year, Bob. But where are we right now? And what does that tell us just about the current cycle we're in right now, investing wise?
Yeah, so the 10-year Treasury yield, which is the focal point for most people, has oscillated between roughly 4 and a high 4, let's call it 5%, and we're not too far from the middle of that zone as we speak. My guess is we'll stay in that zone, Rob, until we resolve, one, what's going to happen with inflation, and two, what's going to happen with the economy. And our guess is the next noticeable move in rates will be down, but we could have a slight uptick first if inflation remains pesky or sticky as we expect.
Yeah, that's helpful. Bob, what about just the sectors that are driving this economy? I mean, I know we had our NVIDIA earnings report last week. That obviously captured a lot of the news and the attention. The NASDAQ just recently hit an all-time high. So where do we stand today just with regard to breadth of the market movement?
I mean, breadth is mediocre, Rob. It's neither a red flag, but it's certainly not a green flag. technology led by NVIDIA has led the market, and big tech in particular, as you know. And as a result, not enough names are participating. You look at the last 12 months or almost any period of substance in the last couple of years, and it's those few stocks that have gone ballistic to the upside, and the average stock has just kind of hung in there, which is what technicians makes technicians a little more concerned, a little more bearish. They'd love to see, we all like to see the market broaden out and more stocks participate on the upside. But so far, that's yet to be seen.
Yeah, very good. Bob, let's finish today with a topic that I know you love to talk about, and that is the opportunity to be generous with what God has entrusted to us. You know, given the prospect of recession and some of the uncertainty at the end of this year and headed into next, we probably got a lot of listeners who are sitting on appreciated stock outside of retirement plans. What an opportunity right now to be generous with some of that and miss out on some taxes. Your thoughts?
Totally agree. You put the easy words in my mouth. In fact, my wife and I were talking about that this weekend, and we said, how much money should we give away? And then we corrected these. So I was like, no, this is not our money. How much are we going to keep? The yes. rest of it has to be given away, and we want to give it to causes, organizations, churches, parachurch ministries that furthers God's kingdom on this planet. So, yes, it's a great opportunity. Big gains, better gains than almost anybody thought over the last few years.
Yeah.
Take advantage of it and save that tax burden.
Excellent. Bob, always appreciate you, my friend. Thanks for stopping by today.
God bless.
All right. That's Bob Dahl. He's Chief Investment Officer and Chief Executive Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. One of those fund families we were referring to earlier. You can check him out at crossmarkglobal.com. Again, to see that complete list of faith-based investing fund families for your own information, as well as maybe to pass on to your advisor, go to faithandinvesting.com/faith5. Well, as we round out the broadcast today, we may have room for one more question. We'd have to sneak it in. So if you have a financial question today, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let me quickly hit on a topic that we've been hearing a lot of questions about lately, and that is, if you have aging parents, what does it look like to step in a way that's respectful and honors your parents, and yet when the time arises and is necessary, how do you begin to take over parents' finances? Well, let's start with, what are some of those warning signs? Perhaps number one, they're making some unusual or odd purchases out of character. Number two, there's a pile of unopened mail, maybe with bills that need to be paid. Are they complaining that they don't have enough money? That could indicate they need help budgeting. Are they starting to experience physical conditions? I'm talking about arthritis or failing vision. It just makes it difficult to carry out the same tasks they have been. Or perhaps the most heartbreaking symptom, and that is they're starting to have cognitive breaks or memory lapses, all signs that they need help. Well, I think the key is communication. I mean, that's always essential. And start that conversation as early as possible. Do they want you to step in? Do they give you permission to do it? Let's assume they do. Then I would say start small. Make those changes gradually. If you'll be paying their bills, sit down and write the checks out together for a time. Increasingly, older folks are managing their accounts and making payments online, so you'll have to get usernames and passwords. But again, you can make those payments together. I think next, you really got to make that list or inventory of all of their financial documents, where they're located, prior year tax returns, insurance policies, deeds, wills, passports, those kinds of things. If they're not in a fireproof safe, now's the time to invest in one. Then you can start to streamline the process. Look at all the sources of income for your parents. If any aren't set up for direct deposit, try to do that if that's available. And then I would say consider having an elder law attorney draw up a power of attorney. That, of course, needs to be signed by a competent adult, so better to do that now versus later. And then as you go about all of this, of course, keep your parents informed of their activities, or of your activities, I should say. But listen, there is a way to honor mom and dad during this season of life as they age, and I hope this will help you think about doing that with intentionality. Well, that's going to do it for us today, folks. Thanks for being along with us. On behalf of my team today, Autumn Simmons, and answering our phones today, grateful for Autumn, Devin Patrick, my producer, and on research today, Mr. Jim Henry. For everyone here at Faith Five, may the Lord bless you. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.